Let us at this time join our hearts and go before God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we bow before your throne. We're thankful to know that you've told us in your word that your throne is not only sovereign, but it's a throne of grace. Grace and mercy for your people. And we can come to you in any time of need. We can cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care about us. And we can trust in you and in your word. We ask, Father, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that you have provided for us the shed blood and the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our salvation is in his name, and that we can even come before you this morning because you have robed us in his righteousness. We thank you for the promise of eternal life to all who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are thankful very much for Todd's joining our membership here this morning. We pray that you will bless his association with us and ours with him, and that we can build one another up in the faith and encourage one another in our walk with the Lord in this life. Father, we do pray for the family of Reverend Tom Mayville. I'm sure earlier in this week they did not expect this Easter Sunday to come and Reverend Mayville not be there with his congregation or with his family. Such are the events of life that we don't really have as much control over them as we think, and our lives are in your hands. Your word tells us our times are in your hands. We thank you for Tom's good life of ministry for the Lord, his years of fruitful service in the church and overseas on the mission fields. We thank you for the faith you gave him and the gifts you gave him. We do pray for the comfort of his family and the comfort of his congregation and all of his friends at this time. We're thankful that we can believe that this humble servant of yours is happy in your presence now. We pray, O Lord, for the continued healing of Alan Doctor, who had this knee surgery, knee replacement. We're thankful that everything was successful, but we pray that you will restore him completely to health and get him back on his feet again as he goes through the physical therapy. We also pray your blessing on Mario Meza, who's having a lot of muscular pain. And we pray that you will give Mario the comfort and strength that he needs at this time so he can keep on performing his labors at work and everything, and be with Mario and Evie and supply all their needs. We're so thankful to hear, O Lord, that after a year of looking, that Bob Reeves has found a job close to his home, and that you've provided this for him and his family, and we pray your richest blessing on the Reeves family there in California. We pray, Father, for our church consistory as they search for a new minister to come here to Minot. We pray that you will supply the right person, lead these men who are basically our search committee, and we pray that you will lead the right man here to take care of this flock and to preach and teach your word. Father, if it be your will, we pray that you would be so merciful as to send rain upon our state, for it is so very dry, and we're under fire watches almost daily, fire warnings, and there are fires breaking out in different parts of the state, and the ground is so dry, and I'm sure the farmers are quite concerned. So we do pray, Father, for the mercy of rain upon our state, upon our lands. We ask, Lord, for the spread of the gospel today throughout the world. We know that many are out there in many different nations preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, gathering the believers into churches and congregations. We pray that you'll bless that work and that's going on out there in many countries. We're thankful that we as a congregation here in Minot, a small church, but yet we are able to give and to contribute our part to that work and the ongoing ministry of Christ and the spread of His kingdom in people's hearts everywhere. Father, we pray You'll bless the rest of the service today and help me to preach and teach Your word from the Scriptures, from the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you if you would take your Bible and if you would turn to John chapter 11. Just don't stand up yet. It's too soon to stand up. We're having trouble this morning. Our stand-ups are now. Normally you would stand up right now, but I want to say a few words first. John chapter 11, verse 17 through 27. And I'm going to have you stand up in just a minute, but I want to give you a setting first of this, because I'm not going to read the whole story. It's one long story, but I don't want to read the entire story. The setting for the Bible reading we're about to see is a home in the village of Bethany in Galilee, where Christ was from. He was from there. Where in that village, Bethany, lived Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. This family was close personal friends of Jesus. He had close personal friends. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had grown sick and died. So I want to pick up the narrative at verse 17 then and read through verse 27. So let us stand together for the reading of God's word. Starting at verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." May God give his blessing to this reading of his word. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God lasts forever. And all of God's people said, amen. Please be seated. The title of my sermon this morning is "After Death Shall We Live Again?" My text is verses 25 through 27 of the 11th chapter of John that we just read there. Every human asks Job's ancient question at some time in his or her life. If a man die, shall he live again? Job 14, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? There, my friends, is the question of the ages. Is there life after earth? And the Bible, and therefore Christian believers, answer, yes, after death we shall live again. This is God's answer. This is what he tells us in his word. It was the answer of the Lord Jesus to Martha, the sister of the deceased Lazarus. He will live again. The Jewish Martha was a devout believer in the Old Testament. She no doubt had been taught and believed the prophecies about the coming Messiah. who is now standing before her. This is evident from the narrative. Just look at verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he, my brother Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How did she know that? Well, as a devout Jew, a believer in the Old Testament, she had been taught something about resurrection truth, that the world will eventually end, the age will end, and there will be a resurrection of the righteous. So she had been taught that. And in verse 27, she confessed her faith in Christ. She said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. She knew about prophecy, that there's a prophecy in the Old Testament, more than one or many prophecies of the coming of the Messiah into the world. Since the death of a close and beloved family member brings tremendous heartache, Martha wanted Lazarus back, but she wanted him right now. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And she said, I know he's going to rise at the last day, but my heart's aching now. I miss him now. I want him back now. So she became a little bit impatient there. She wanted him back right now, not just at the last day. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? When we lose some close loved one, perhaps a spouse or a child or someone, and especially if it's very early in life, we think it's too early. We miss them, and we want them back now, but that doesn't happen. We have to wait to the resurrection when Christ returns. Note, congregation, that the New Testament teaches from cover to cover that there will come a last day, in which the graves will be opened and the earth and the sea shall give up their dead. That day is coming. But Martha, and I'm sure Mary too, the other sister, was in deep grief over the loss of her brother. Now, it all depends on what part of the country you live in, how much grief is expressed at the death of a loved one. In the upper Midwest, I think we tend to be a little bit more stoic, at least in public. I'm not saying our hearts don't ache, they don't break. Of course they do. Of course we grieve. But we're not as demonstrative, you know, in public about that. Other parts of the country where I have pastored, I've seen it the opposite. I've gone to funeral services and I've seen family members actually wailing in public. At a funeral service, right out loud in public. I mean, ooh, you know, letting their feelings go. And so it was a lot like that in the Jewish culture of Bible times. They were very demonstrative in their grief. And they would weep and wail and let it be known publicly how they felt. They didn't hold back. So that was the case with Mary and Martha, and especially Martha. So she's in this very deep grief over the death of her brother, but the Lord comforts her in the words of verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, he was saying that he is the cause of the resurrection hope that believers have concerning the resurrection that's coming on the last day. The power to effect your resurrection and mine at the last day is his power. We're raised, we will be raised, all will be raised by the power of Christ on the last day. That's why he says, I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection hope, I'm the resurrection cause, I'm the resurrection power. In John 14:19, Jesus said to his disciples, because I live, you shall live also. I love those words. Because I live, you shall live also. But it's not just Christians who will rise again at the last day. The fact is, regardless of your spiritual condition, you shall rise. Not just Christians. The Lord taught this earlier in the Gospel of John, which we've just read, but back earlier, chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, "The hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." So you see that on that last day, the resurrection is called a general resurrection, will entail generally the entire human race that have died and been buried. Particularly, it's a particular resurrection in the sense that it will include every man and woman and boy and girl. Each one in particular. Now what you say, well, I can't imagine that. Well, neither can I. I can't imagine it. I mean, you know, you have maybe fleeting thoughts about what would that look like, you know. You're standing in a cemetery, perhaps. Perhaps you're there at a funeral and you're burying somebody, but all of a sudden you hear the trumpet, the Lord comes back, and all those graves open. I have no idea what that will look like, but I believe with every fiber of my being it's going to happen. As surely as Christ came out of his tomb, we shall come out of ours. Now Jesus said some will be raised to eternal life. Some will come forth unto eternal condemnation. For those who would look to the eternal future with confidence and assurance of faith, assurance of eternal life, the answer to that question is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He came, he lived a sinless life while he was here on earth. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we go through, he knows our temptations, yet he never committed a sin. We read in Luke 24 that he died and was raised. Then you have what is said in what he said in our text. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Shall never die. Now what's that mean? Shall never die. I thought everybody died. The Bible does say, doesn't it? It's appointed unto every man once to die. And then comes the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Jesus said we'll never die if we're believers in him. Well, we know believers physically die, so what's he talking about? Well, Barnes said that it means what Christ meant was that we shall never come into eternal death. We'll never die the second death, Revelation chapter 20. We'll never die that final death. Literally, it means shall by no means die forever. That's the literal translation. Shall by no means die forever. Matthew Henry says rightly that man consists of body and soul, and our Creator makes provisions for the happiness of both our bodies and our souls. When a Christian dies, their soul goes right at that moment to be with the Lord in heaven. We bury the body in a grave, where it awaits the future bodily resurrection when the Lord returns at the last day. And I stress the bodily resurrection because we will have resurrection bodies. We won't be exactly like this body we've got. It'll be much better. Kind of be like the same body, but totally restored to glory. You know, everything you'd want it to be. That's what we'll have. A scripture familiar to Christians is 1 John 15. I want to turn there, and I invite you to take your Bible and turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 51. I'm going to read through verse 55. Now here's what the Bible says about what's going to happen. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we will all be dead. This was a Christian euphemism for death, you know, the repose of the body in a casket or a grave. They called that sleeping because it was just temporary. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Whether we're dead or alive, we'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this physical corruptible body we've got right now, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So yes, Job and all inquirers, after a man dies, after a woman dies, he shall live again. Jesus doesn't just tell us about the resurrection, he is the resurrection himself. And the Bible calls him the firstborn of the dead, Colossians 1:15. Paul says in Romans 1:4 that he's been declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That was Romans 1:4. And you talk of power, he is power. He was power embodied. And Peter's Pentecost sermon, that great sermon he preached in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, he so mightily preached the resurrection of Christ. And here's what he said in that sermon. He said, wicked men nailed him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. We just sang, death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Savior. It was totally impossible for death to hold on to him. He is the resurrection. He is the life. If someone asks a Christian a reason for their hope, they answer with a personal name. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. He conquered death for us, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I tell you, if there's anybody here this morning who's a Christian and you're afraid of death, it's a totally useless fear. The sting's been taken out of it. There's nothing there anymore. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Believe his promise. But to whom is Jesus' promise given? Who does he give that promise to? My friend, it's right there in verse 25. Right there in verse 25. He who believes in me. That's who the promise is for. Lord's promise of eternal life is for all of those who believe. Well, that is, they trust in him. They confide in him. They put their hope in him for the eternal welfare. That he is the Son of God. That he is your only mediator between you and God. That he died on the cross for your sins. That he rose from the dead on the third day. And that his promises are all true. They're all true. Jesus confronted Martha about what she believed. He said, do you believe this? And she did confess her faith to Jesus. She confessed her faith in him. She said, yes, Lord, she told him. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha believed, and she confessed her faith in the Lord Jesus. Have you done that, my friend? Have you come to faith in him? Have you become acquainted with his word, and you understand that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that he is risen from the dead, and that he is Lord of lords? that he will save you if you come to him and call on his name. The Bible says whoever calls on his name will be saved. We see in verse 44 that Jesus called Lazarus back to life, and he came forth. The Bible gives the promise to all hearers in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, sir. He shall live again. The Christian lyricist Bill Gaither wrote a hymn, not in our book, it's in one I've got at home, called Because He Lives. And he wrote these words in the chorus of it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. That may seem kind of simple compared to more, you know, meaty type reform hymns, but it's very true. It's very true. It's simple, but true. It's something that you can remember and carry with you every day. And you can sing it over and over to yourself. No matter what you're facing in life, no matter what comes on the journey of life, no matter what you're going through, you can say, because he lives. To me, those are like the three of the happiest words you could say. I asked my dear wife recently, what are the three happy words you could say? She said, Christ is risen. I said, well, yeah, that it is great. I said, I was thinking of because he lives. Because he lives. Now, just think that. No matter what you're going to go through, no matter what the future holds for you, your family, your country, we don't know what's coming down the road. Doesn't look all that great if you ask me. But because he lives, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Those words are simple but memorable, and I find them very strengthening. So I hope you will take those words with you. Maybe six words. Christ is risen, and because he lives. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the good hope that you have given to us who believe in Jesus. We know and we believe that he has conquered the tomb, conquered death, conquered sin in the grave, and that his invitation is very true, that whoever puts their hope and trust and faith in him shall live eternally and never really die. We thank you for that hope that you've given us, and we pray, oh Lord, that you would just increase our faith and help us to live in light of the joy of the resurrection, Christ's own resurrection, and because of his, ours that is coming. In his name we pray. Amen.